Nobody is competing for the job above them. Nobody is whining about the other person. Nobody's complaining about the other person. Everybody's kind of a grown-up.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok. My guest today is John Arms. Here's three facts that I believe you should know about John. One, he is the co-founder and author of Voyager University, a learning community for people transitioning to an independent career. John writes, speaks, and advocates for the professional gig economy, which is fast becoming our new normal for work. And three, John is an independent professional serving as a fractional CMO to small and mid-sized businesses. John Arms, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Thank you. Thank you, George. I'm very delighted to be here. And might I say, you've got a great radio voice. I did radio for decades, and your voice is like, I need to get a commercial going because your voice is very radio-centric.
Thank you. It's great to hear that. You know, people say that every once in a while, and I'm still surprised, but because we hear our own voice.
Yeah, well, totally, totally. They tell me I have a face for radio. I don't know how to take that.
Well, we all have a good face for radio. Some of them just better than others, I suppose. John, I've been hearing this phrase called fractional work, fractional workers, fractional economy. What's that all about, and what does it mean to business?
Sure, sure. Yeah, you have been hearing a lot about it, haven't you? It shows up in Forbes and Wall Street Journal about every 5 seconds, it seems. There's a lot of reasons you're hearing so much about the fractional economy and fractional work. And I'll try to boil it down into some simple things for your listeners so you can really kind of get your arms around it. So what is happening, the reason you're hearing so much about it, because it's a very, very good solution to getting work done that we really didn't have access before. And it breaks down into sort of two dimensions. The economy, let's talk about it from the simple economic side of things, supply and demand, you know, just those basics, right? Well, on the supply side, that would be the worker. There's a lot of attraction to putting yourself into fractional work, because if you've lost your job and you're struggling to find a new job because the dynamics are so crazy right now, it's really wise and helpful to put yourself out in two or three or even five gigs or fractional roles, because it's money, which is great. You can do it. There's support systems like ours to help you do it. And it feels really great because you're no longer in traffic or in a commute or in a toxic work environment. You are your own boss. So it tends to be really loved by the supply side of that equation for more reasons than that. But those are some very, very basic ones. Another side of that is the demand side. Why are businesses hiring fractional? Why are they seeking it? Simple economics again. It's a lot cheaper to have a fractional leader in any role than it is to have a full-timer by more than half. So if you're paying $200,000 for a COO, and you've lost that COO, or you don't have, the CEO is doing the COO work, but the business doesn't have the cash to hire a full-timer, those fractionals are very, very attractive. And they can get that thing, those things that need to get done and get that leadership in, leading and moving the business forward. So the supply and demand of it is very, very simple. It's interesting because it's kind of a shock to the system. We're not used to it. We're not used to it at all. And we're used to full-time people in full-time places doing full-time things. And that's been the norm for about 75 years in the U.S. economy. And that norm, obviously, with the pandemic and everything that's happened in the last 2 years, has been completely shattered and sort of broken down to the ground to be rebuilt.
And John, I suppose people of our generation, the boomers, the boomers, we grew up and we were trained, you go to school, get a good education, so you get a good job, a good company hires you, you have a job for life, and you retire at 65, and you're done. That doesn't kind of sit well anymore.
It really doesn't. And there's a lot of logic to why that doesn't sit well. You know, one, I saw a survey this morning by the wonderful Kat Breach. She's here in the Twin Cities market. And she did a survey asking a large population of people, you know, what's the number one reason you don't want to go back to work or you left the job that you had? And 58% in that survey, thank you very much, Kat, 58% in that survey said toxic work culture. So if over half of our businesses, people are actively reporting toxic work culture, and however they define that, a nasty coworker, a nasty boss, unreal expectations, you know, toxicity is not just defined as one thing. It comes through in a lot of ways. So it's that is a big driver as to why we're not kind of dying to go back to the way we did things before. It's not the only one, but it's a big one when those numbers are pretty, you know, they repeat in other surveys and other studies that reality. So if we have a culture that is year over year pretty toxic to people, and in the last 2 years, we've had a real awakening to our own mortality, to what matters in life, to how we want to spend our days, to the importance of things in our life. And I think healthily so, a reshuffling of priorities. Work should never be more important than your family. It should never be more important than your health. For decades, it's come second, health, family, just personal time. It's come second to work. It's not a sustainable model. And so that's a big driver and a big reason I think we're really reluctant to go back to full-time work and look for a different way.
So I'm wondering, does fractional work fix the toxic workplace, or does it simply give people more choices?
It does a little bit of both, which is that's a great question. I'll start with the fixing of the toxic workplace. There's great leaders, Simon Sinek, and there's people way smarter than me, which isn't hard to do. That bike is probably smarter than me, but people smarter than me study this on work culture and leadership, and they pick it apart, and it has been picked apart for decades, but it's evergreen. It never seems to go away, the problems in work culture. And what happens when you bring in a fractional model is a lot of those things, they're just not there. They're just not entities that exist in a workplace. And I'll give you an example. I have a customer that has three fractional leaders in their business. Nobody is competing for the job above them. Nobody is whining about the other person. Nobody's complaining about the other person. Everybody's kind of a grown-up and wants to get the work done and advance the business. The focus is the right place. As my business partner, Jason Voyevich, often says, the emphasis is on the correct syllable with fractional roles. And I love that. It really is true. So a lot of it is just sort of avoiding those things like that, that toxicity stuff. It's just not present when you have not even a large fractional workforce, just even some. It just takes away some of those dynamics that have fostered that. I think there was a second part of your question, which was that one was, does it replace? Oh, fix. So does it fix it by avoiding it? And does it replace the replacement part of fractional roles is interesting because what tends to happen is people come in with their gray hair like me, or not gray hair, but with their seasoning, right? Their experience. And they start leaning into the problems of the business, depending on what they're bringing in for. And they're really, really focused on outcome and business growth and advancement. Far less so on position in company or even a raise, because you've already negotiated your rate. It's done. You're not working for a raise anymore. There might be an equity discussion later, but it's just sort of changed the dynamic, and I think in a very healthy way.
And I'm thinking, and again, back to the way that that I was brought up was that, you know, when you have a job, a good job, you have security. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, and as someone who has discovered painfully that that security doesn't last, that there yeah. There is a moment when someone's going to call you in the room and say, you're fired.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an interesting dichotomy, isn't it? The idea of security, you're going to go work for a business for decades and they're going to take care of you. And I think by and large, most people call that growing in place. And what has happened over the last 20 years is you're going to spend a lot of time there. They might even pay for your MBA and do that sort of thing. But if and when, not really if, when the business goes south or makes a change, gets acquired or something like that, it's not a surprise, right? We know what happens in the economy. Acquisitions happen, and thus people look for efficiencies and cut workforce. Models are stressed. There's less sales and less demand for products, and thus people cut workforce. It's as predictable as the sun, but yet we seem to be surprised when it happens to us, which is this really weird. It doesn't really make a lot of sense when you think about it. And I'll give an example. Most people in the professional world have somebody that kind of watches their money for them. And that financial advisor, if they're worth their salt, would never say, put all your eggs in one basket. They would never do that. They would never say, just invest in this one thing, get in Bitcoin and get everything in Bitcoin and forget about other things. Diversify is the lesson for health when it comes to a balanced financial portfolio. Diversity of clientele is the lesson for a balance of health in your career portfolio. It's perfect logic, right? But for many, many years, there's been some shifts that have changed recently, but for many years, there was a norm. And norms can be very, very dangerous. Just ask the people in the horse business after the car came out to be. Norms can go very, very quickly. It's a good question. And the grow in place thing, you know, my dad worked at a brokerage firm, a very large one, for 42 years. And that doesn't happen anymore. And he liked it and he enjoyed it. But in the last few years, I think they ended up getting sold two or three times, all this change. And after 42 years, he was doing pretty good. But, you know, that just doesn't happen. You just don't hear it. It's exception, not the norm.
What type of company is perfect to hire fractional leaders? Is it a growing company? Is it a startup? Is it a mature company? What mm-hmm. do they look like?
All three do benefit from hiring fractionals, but I'll take it piece by piece. A growing company, for sure. No doubt. If you've just been recently funded or you're just getting started or you're just sort of, you know, you're fresher out of the gate, the fractional model is perfect and ideal. It keeps your costs down, but it instantly brings in the thing that you need most, which is a lot of wisdom and intelligence. Fractional workers are by and large over 40. And there's a reason for that. They have a lot of wisdom. You get even older than that, 45, 50, 55, 60. The wisdom obviously gains and increases. And it's actually a good battle against ageism, like all this great intelligence that can deliver to the market a lot of value in a fractional way is super helpful. But small businesses just emerging, recently funded, it's a great way to keep going fast and up without overloading yourself, you know, without taking too much cash out of the business and getting the yield you want out of that. Another business I think in the US, that's 30 million businesses, I believe. I think there's 30 million that qualify as small business. But emerging businesses, one. Two, reorgs, you know, reorganize businesses that have been acquired or there was a reorganization in place. And this is kind of up to, you know, I kind of like to use the benchmark of up to 200 million in revenue is a good business for a fractional. Reorganizing business, of which, oh my God, just think how many are in the last 2 years, given what we've had to go through. Businesses that are reorganizing, they need intelligence. They need wisdom bad. You know, they're not going to get back to themselves moving up and forward and fast on the same old, same old. This is kind of an instant injection of some critical thinking that you just can't get in another way. And with your reorganizing, it's super, super helpful. So emerging, recently funded, you know, the Crunchbase crowd, perfect. and businesses that are either reorganized or bought or merged, perfect. The other one are more, I wouldn't call situational, but stuck. There's a lot of businesses that have found themselves stuck in the last couple of years. And by stuck, I mean, they're just doing the same thing. And they were like, why aren't we growing? Why can't we get out of this? Well, most logic will tell you they need some fresh thinking. Not, it's interesting, this last 20 years, and I love some of the people who speak on this, including Gary Vaynerchuk, grinding and grinders win and you got to grind. And I see that and I'm like, well, first of all, that sounds exhausting. You know, let's come to reality with our own ability to be up for 48 hours straight and grind. And when you think about the logic of that, do you need to grind or do you need to think? Abe Lincoln had this great saying. He said, give me 4 hours to cut down a tree and I'll spend three sharpening the axe. I think now more than ever, we need thinkers and wisdom and critical thinking. Grinding, I think, had a good place for the last 20 years. I think we're aging out of that. And I'll get a lot of blowback, and people who advocate for grinding and think grinding is the answer, they'll yell at me for that. And I'm not, hopefully this doesn't get interpreted as I don't appreciate grinding, because I do plenty of it myself, but the values in thinking and critical thinking, and that's more walking and thinking and thoughtful conversations and thoughtful time than it is plow through 75 emails as fast as you can and call that progress.
Who are the people? You mentioned that fractional workers are probably over the age of 40. Mm-hmm. So who makes the best, who succeeds the best as a fractional worker?
You know, the people who succeed the best are those who are quick to adapt an always be learning mindset. So it's more of a psychographic place than it is a demographic place. And in Voyager, you've got people from every skill set you can imagine. We got IT, ops, finance, marketing, design, you know, all of that, a lot of good experience. But it's those who are embracing, I got to change my mindset here. I got to stop thinking about growing in place and be much more of a learning, you know, engine and an engine of change than I am of an engine of repetition. So those who embrace that mindset do really, really well. Sometimes people come out of a business, let's say they worked for, you know, Fortune 500 or Fortune 2000 business for 25 years. That is hard for them to do. They do it and it comes around. There's a lot of vulnerability with that. There's a lot of humility that's needed, but it's not easy to do. What doesn't work? So that's what does work. People willing to change and learn the new stuff and really embrace kind of a new way of providing their value to the market. What doesn't work is the thought that your last 30 years at Company X and all the awesomeness that you did there, which was awesome, lifts itself and places itself into the fractional economy and works just as well. They are completely different animals, absolutely different animals. The dynamics, the culture, the expectations, it's different. And so you can't work for 30 years at, I almost said Amazon. Amazon hasn't been around for 30 years. So you can't work for 30 years at Apple or IBM or something and just plop all of that. You learned a lot and that applies. But it just doesn't, it's just not I'll just go consult now. It doesn't work. You have to think differently. So those who embrace a mindset change are very successful.
And how is fractional work different from consulting?
Sure. So the way to think about fractional work versus consulting is, I'll speak about consulting first. Consulting is sort of, there's a term limit to it. We have a problem. We've identified it over a period of months. And we're going to have you come in and fix this thing and then go away. That's the normal, very common scenario with consulting. The bad part of consulting is sometimes it's like you're going to work on that problem forever so we can keep the billing high. And I don't think that's very good either. But fractional is you're not solving a problem. You are a gear in that business. So every business, all those people who are gearheads, who I love, every business is like an engine. And every engine has parts, and every part has to do its part for the whole to keep the machinery going. And I can't explain car engines very well because I'm not that good of a car guy, but you know, there's a carburetor and there's this and that. Well, when you're a fractional executive or a fractional person, you're basically coming in as a gear. So let's say it's operations. That business isn't going to make an operations project and grow. They need the gear day in and day out to move forward. And you can't live without that gear. You can't drive a vehicle with only three tires. So as a fractional person, you're coming in as a critical gear or tire on the four tires that are needed, not as a project that can go away. That being said, it is very wise and often happens that you go in and because a business might say, we have this finance issue and we need a really good finance person to solve it. And so you're a fractional finance person. So you go in and solve that problem. And the really good ones will say, yeah, we found five more. And in the process of that, the way you're doing things needs to be addressed. And we've got two members in Voyager, Greg Olberg and Kerry Cook, and they're just fabulous CFOs and they're fractional finance people. And that's what they do all the time is you can go in on a project and fix the project, but until you fix the core things and commit to doing things differently. So that's where fractional people come in and succeed.
Now, I suppose one of the benefits of bringing people, fractional leaders within the organization, and assuming that those fractional leaders also have other clients, that they bring ideas from their clients. Because the danger is when you work for an organization and that's all you live and breathe every day, you get your vision gets blocked. You can't see anything outside your company or even your industry. You see the world from that office door.
Yeah. And that's very dangerous. That has killed a lot of businesses. And you're right. It's exactly what happens. In my email signature, I have four things that your value is in. And one of them is your value is in your objectivity. Your ability to have an outside view is massively valued. And when you're a fractional executive, you're applying it every single day. There used to be this when people were looking to hire in the sort of the normal resume. Where did you work? Where did you get your degrees? How many years in my industry do you have of experience in healthcare or finance or retail or whatever it is? And you're right. If you're so vertically inclined and all you know is retail, so it can be very, very damaging to just like, well, I'm just going to bring in the same old and same old. Well, when has that ever made change in an appropriate way? It's an easy hire. It's very easy. If I'm a big Fortune 5 to say, I just went and found the most experienced person in retail and we're a retail business, we're going to kill it. And more often than not, you're seeing this now happen all the time. I'm getting absolutely outside of our space and I'm going to bring in a fractional person who has objectivity because it's their outside view that has tremendous value on us now. So that happens at times of change. At times of change, you have to embrace and live with outside viewpoints in order to grow. Same old thinking will not get you moving.
John, you run Voyager University. What's that all about? Who's it for and what can they gain from it?
You bet. So Voyager University, it's an online community and training ground to go fractional. Simple. It's as simple as that. There's many more dimensions to it, but if you're thinking about doing this or, you know, if you're doing it, you want to get better at it. It's the living and breathing. We hope it is the center of the universe for the fractional economy. That's our hope. And so what it's all about is a couple of things. One, it's learning because there's new stuff here. Things are different. And so we've got about 100 and some lessons on how to do this fractional thing, right? Through all dimensions, through sales and marketing and mindset and all of those important things. So there's learning. But the other part is the community. It really, really, really matters to get out and embrace a lot of people who are like you in terms of they're fractional, but also unlike you in that you're not all fractional salespeople or fractional marketing people or fractional ops people, that there's a diversity of population. And we were very, very, very careful to curate that in our population. So learning and community, and then there's a pulse piece to it. We meet the last Thursday every month. We have a really awesome newsletter that goes out to our members where we have a very active LinkedIn community where sort of the interchange of ideas and leads and I need this happens. So we've created a culture for the fractional economy that I don't think really exists in any other places. So it's for those who either been laid off or let go or trying to get better at fractional, but they just don't know where to go, where to start. This is the epicenter.
And people can find the link in the description below for those who want to write it down. Quickly tell us the link to find.
Yeah, you can find us at www.voyageru.com. It's V-O-Y-A-G-E-U-R, Voyageur, if you like to say it the French way. But we spelled it that way on purpose. That's a different story for a different day. But Voyageur University, it anchors to the idea of exploration, of course.
Mm. John, do you see fractional work disappearing at some point?
I get asked that question a lot. And, you know, it's a crystal ball question for sure. Even in my best consulting of my magic crystal ball, I just don't know. My inclination is to say no, but it's not because of the benefits to the business. That would, you know, the economic benefits of being a fractional and hiring fractional people make perfect sense. That should stay. It makes a lot of sense. The diversity of, you know, revenue should stay. That's very, very healthy. So there's some norms in fractional work that'll probably be around for a while and probably forever. But I think the primary reason it's going to stay is kind of has to do with this reset we've had these last 2 years. As a life choice, as a way to make money and still take, you know, and not have that be the first thing in your life, as a way to have time for your health, as a way to think more and busy yourself less, as a way to spend time with family. Those are extremely valuable things in our lives that, quite honestly, have been second place for far too long. And it's one of those things that once you have a taste of something like this, you really don't want to let it go. And we're seeing it now. It was interesting about a year ago, there was, I can't remember which company it was, but it was a large financial firm in Wall Street. And they said, you know, get your asses back in the office. It's time. You know, if you want to make New York money, work in a New York office or something like that. And that, you know, it was the thinking at the time. But I think what they didn't see was, no, my family matters. My husband or my wife or my spouse or my partner matter more than grinding sun up to sundown and opening the laptop at nine. So this reset, which I think has been a long time in coming. We put a value on something other than work, or at least it reorganizes in the priority. That's going to be hard to let go. I hope it doesn't, because it's two things happen when people bring in fractional. One, the fractional person gets a good way to earn a living and that, and the business benefits from that. But those people who are full-time in a business, they benefit greatly too. And that's often not talked about, is what happens to people who are still have full-time roles and full-time jobs and are living that. It's awesome and it's noble. They're benefiting from the fractional thing as well. What happens when you bring in a lot of experience is other leaders have an immediate pressure release. They have a peer they can talk to. They have a new level of intelligence they can consult with. Some of the stuff comes off their shoulders and goes to the fractional. It isn't often talked about, but those who are full-time workers, not fractional, and like that, there's a huge benefit to bringing in fractional people in your business, and they're seeing it now.
John, you are a fractional CMO, a chief marketing officer.
Yeah, chief marketing officer, not chief medical officer. That question was asked of me. I will not be doing any surgery on anybody. Chief marketing officer.
Good. The world feels safer already.
Yes, you're safe. Right. No scalpels in my hands.
John, when you first entered the fractional work as a fractional worker, what were your biggest challenges that you had to overcome?
You know, there was quite a few, but most of it was mindset. You know, I had to learn. I chose, when I first entered it, I at least had enough vision to say, I don't want to do the same old, work the way we've all been working for 50 years. I see a different path. And I had a business and we had a lot of employees and I went through all of that. And I thought, I think there's a better way for sort of the supply and demand of talent to happen than what is the norm in the American workforce. So some of the things I had to overcome was just how I thought about how a day broke down, how you deal with customers, how you just the whole way in which you deploy yourself in smaller pieces. I had to think about that. And that was a lot of mindset shift. So that was one of them. The easier parts were sort of the structure. And none of it is easy, but one of the challenges was I had to create structure. There was not, before we created Voyager, my business partner, Jason, and I, you know, we just couldn't find the roadmap, the path, the guide, all of that to do this. And so we went through the crucible and figured it out ourselves and said, let's open the door behind us and create tools for others to do this as well. So we had a lot of challenges and had a lot of challenges to overcome in order to become a successful fractional CMO.
John, in preparing to wrap up, if you could offer advice to a business leader who maybe consider hiring a fractional people to work there, what would be the signs within their business, the symptoms within their business that suggest that maybe they should consider fractional workers?
You bet. Probably the number one sign is there's been no new thinking. We've been repeating, you know, our performance numbers haven't moved to the degree either we or our investors hope. If they're using a tool like Traction, that moment in 90 days or 3 months or a year or 3 years, we're not getting any closer. In fact, many times it feels like we're moving away from that. That all tells you we need some fresh thinking in here. We are stuck. And that's a hard thing for businesses to do. It's a very vulnerable place. You know, you're there, you're a leader, you built this business, or you've been brought in to really help it grow, and you're stuck. That's when you need fresh thinking. And fractional are great for that because it's low cost, massive amount of wisdom injected very quickly. And obviously that helps you move towards those things that you wrote down on a piece of paper sometime, said, we have to get to that distant spot and we're not getting there. So we need something new in here. So that's a very large indicator to bring in fractional, whatever it is, ops, IT, finance. A lot of people think you're bringing in a very disciplined, when they think about fractional, you're bringing in somebody who's got like the specific discipline, like me, I'm marketing. Like John's going to come in, my secret power is storytelling, and I know marketing. And that's true. There's others who are going to come in who have that same superpower, but it's in finance or if it's in IT. What comes with that is there 10, 15, 20, 30 years of failures and successes and network and intelligence. Yeah, the discipline you're bringing in is one thing, but the other half of what that business experience those people have, massively valuable to every business. And to your point earlier, if you've been in place for too long, you just don't have those in your arsenal. You know, if you've been working at the same company for 30 years, there's a lot of things that you do not have that are extremely valuable right now. Outside viewpoint, outside intelligence, outside people being some of the few.
My guest today is John Armes, reminding you that your business is like a machine, and perhaps it's time for you to inspect and polish some of the gears.
If you like what you heard, remember to like, comment, and share this podcast. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.